You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
How's it going, kiddo?
It's jam sesh time.
No.
Come on.
When jam sesh time arrives, we have to put aside childish things like homework and med school.
Please don't touch my thing.
It's jam sesh time.
I have to close the shop.
I'm sorry, Frank. I held off on raising the rent as long as I could.
I mean, it's time. My girl starts UCLA in the fall. You can't make your heart feel like what?
Just a bunch of words.
I want it that way. They want what? What way?
I'm sorry, are you bringing up the Backstreet Boys?
It's actually a pretty good song.
We don't always get to do what we love, so we need to love what we do.
I never realized that was your secret.
Yep. Yeah.
We've been trying to start a band with me since I was like 12. We're not a band.
We're not a band. I like it.
I don't want to be in a band. And even if I did, I'm not gonna be in one with my dad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Youth Critic Reacts. I am your host, Kale Smith, and today I'm just gonna go over my reviews for the films from the Atlanta Film Festival during the closing weekend. So if you don't know what's been happening in the last week or week and a half, I have been going to the Atlanta Film Festival and doing reviews for the show. And also doing some interviews from here and there. But anyway, it's been a very fun, very productive film festival. Seen a lot, and I'm going to talk to you about the things I've seen on Friday and then Saturday, and I didn't get to go Sunday because I had work to do, but still, but yeah, I'm just going to go over what we did on Friday and Saturday. So, if you would like to know more about the Atlanta Film Festival coverage, just look back at the last couple episodes where I reviewed Blindspotting and where I got to interview Davy Diggs and the producers behind Maynard. Please look for that. You know, in the KHZ Network channel if you're on YouTube or on Podbean. So, let's get started with Hearts Beat Loud. So, for those who don't know, Hearts Beat Loud stars Nick Offerman and Kiersey Clemons. I hope I got that right. And it's a father and daughter story about Offerman's character. He's kind of been wanting to, you know, be in a band, but also, like, he's kind of like the ultimate music lover, and just like your typical, like, hipster who, I guess I would say hipster, that, you know, hangs out in, you know, vinyl places. He owns a vinyl place. And he's just an all-about, like, you know, huge music fan. And he has a daughter who is about to go to UCLA for college. And yeah, this is the story of, like, their last summer together, while also them also starting a band accidentally with, you know, one single song called Hearts Beat Loud from their band, We're Not a Band. So it's a very touching father-daughter story that does have a formulaic edge to it. But what gives its, you know, precedence nowadays is that it's also a story, it's a coming-of-age story between two women, between Sasha Lane's character and Kiersey Clemons' character, as they both are a coming-of-age love story. And the way, and what I loved about it was that, about this, was how this lesbian relationship is not sexualized. It's not, you know, you know, a crazy, it's not, you know, it's not overly glorified. It's very much, it's very much a relationship, much like in Love, Simon with Simon and Blue, or not even as sexualized as Elio and Oliver in Call Me By Your Name. So, and which is impressive. It, you know, it's, you know, so if you are a lesbian or a bisexual, or if you're a woman interested in a woman, if you've been waiting for an accurate representation by two really good actresses for in the 21st century, or to see something on screen again, Hearts Beat Loud just represents perfectly what, you know, a loving, you know, lesbian relationship or a loving queer relationship should be portrayed on the screen. And it's wonderful. And that's really, for me, the core of the film, is that the story is these intertwining love stories that all kind of, you know, center or surround music and the power of music and what music can do to bring together people, what it represents, you know, to people. And that's really the heart of Hearts Beat Loud, is the music that drives the character. The music, or really the music that was inspired by the characters, and it's the artist's story that, you know, that is inspiring the work that's coming out of them. And it feels really good, and you just are compelled to watch it. You just buy into it all. And I think that's why you hear that this is going to be the feel-good movie of the year. And, or as I would dare say, this is kind of the Sing Street of 2018. So yeah, it's just a really fun, uplifting, feel-good movie where you want to, you know, laugh, you want to cry, and you want to cry tears of joy. And that's basically how I feel about Hearts Beat Loud. It's a really solid film. We'll talk a little bit more when it comes out on June 8th, or when it comes out in June on wide release. Because I don't think it's going to get a wide release on June 8th. I think it's just going to, you know, have a rollout, much like Blindspotting and Eighth Grade will. But yeah, please check out Hearts Beat Loud when it eventually does. And I think on the show, we will eventually come back to it at some point in June to talk about the movie. Because I think it's going to be too huge. I think it's going to be one of those movies we're just going to have to come back to. Because much like, you know, for the people who watch Sing Street, we're going to have to, like, come back to it when it comes out on wide release. So yeah, and we'll come back with the Hearts Beat Loud discussion in June. So, but for now, I highly recommend it. So, next up, Thy Kingdom Come.
What is this?
New indie mix on Spotify.
This is my band. You guys, this is my band. This is my band!
Okay, so what do we do now?
I mean, we could write another song.
This is so good. You wrote this.
Yeah, with my dad.
Sam talks to me now like she's the adult.
It's just her way of making it easier for you when they leave. We were
right at the Maybe you could take a year off and we'll see what happens.
Are you suggesting that I don't go to college so that I can stay and be in a band with you?
You have the same thing that your mother had. And if she were here right now...
No, you don't get to do that! Soon
I
won't be by
your side, give me... I've been here my whole life. I want something different. It's time to get away. Let's just do our thing.
What thing? We've never done this before.
Just do what we always do. Just in front of some people. Hey, that's what bands do, right? Let it go. Let it slip from the tip of my hands.
Can I let it all go?
So Thy Kingdom Come, which also premiered with Saltwater Baptism, which is, and we'll get to that in just a second, but Thy Kingdom Come is basically Javier Bardem. If you remember back in 2013, it's one of Roger Ebert's last movies he reviewed. Javier Bardem starred in Terrence Malick's To the Wonder as a priest. And during the making of that movie, Eugene Richards, I think, and his wife and a few other people accompanied Javier Bardem as he was kind of preparing the role in Oklahoma where they were filming. And for like 2 weeks, you know, he would listen and hear people's stories that were kind of living in the rural, poor areas of Oklahoma to get a better sense of the character. And this is what this documentary is. It's a reveal of the, it's Javier Bardem playing the priest, going and listening to these people's stories. And a lot of them are heartbreaking. A lot of them do mean a lot to people. And it really is just slice of life as Javier Bardem goes out and interviews people. And it's just a really, you know, interesting slice of life, 40 to 50 minute documentary. I don't know if it's out per se yet or when it's going to be out, but it is an interesting kind of supplement to the To the Wonder film if you want to see more of Javier Bardem as the priest. But other than that, it was really good. And Saltwater Baptism is a story of a gay couple that are about to graduate from a religious college, and they're about to basically join each other for the rest of their lives. And the 16-minute documentary chronicles the, you know, basically their story, their struggles, and what they, you know, are, what, basically what's, you know, basically their lives at that moment. So very much like, you know, how Thy Kingdom Come is a very slice of life documentary. This is also a kind of slice of life as we, you know, see two gay couple as they explore what it means to be Christian, what it means to their family to be gay, and what does that ultimately entail. So really well done. Really well done. And I'm not sure when that will be available as well, but it's really, but it was a really good documentary short. All right, so now let's get into the fun stuff. As that wasn't fun already. So, I think it was either earlier this week or last week, maybe even a couple weeks ago, it was reported that Kathy Yan, who is a former journalist, who went on to make, you know, documentary shorts, short films, and she ultimately went to China to make this movie called Dead Pigs, about, you know, this crisis where pigs were dying in the thousands, and it was causing this epidemic and kind of this fear of, you know, of farmers going, you know, into debt and, you know, a short food supply. And it was, you know, this epidemic is this real thing. So Dead Pigs is basically inspired by that story. It's not a true, based on true events kind of deal. It's very much just inspired by this story. And honestly, it's even more of the backdrop because the movie is more about these, Well, it's about these, you know, four or five different subplots with all these characters as they're all, you know, struggling amidst, you know, the craziness of this one corporation that's basically causing a ripple effect in their lives. One of the board members, we follow her daughter and her relationship with this, you know, waiter, and this waiter's relationship to his father, who is in debt to, I'm assuming the mafia. It's getting fuzzy. And then, you know, then his relationship to his sister, who wants to stay at this house that's been, you know, in her family for three generations, but around her is just complete rubble as they're trying to build this new resort on top of her property and on top of this huge, amount of land that's been demolished for, you know, this project. So there's all these, you know, stories. They all connect to, you know, they all connect to the theme of eventually, you know, letting go, as painful as it is, and also and even to the point where, you know, letting go, you know, as sad and horrible as it is, it's the least craziest thing to do. It's the least, you know, it's the one thing that it's the one thing that has to be done in order, it has to unfortunately be done in order for any of these characters to have any relief, because of how the game of, I don't want to say capitalism, I will say that it's the game, because of how the game of capitalism is played in this movie, and also the game of life is played upon them. So it's this interesting and very well done story, well connected, beautifully shot, and you feel for the characters all the way through, and they make interesting and complex decisions. As crazy as some of them are, you buy into it, and that's why I generally like the movie. If I had one criticism towards the film Dead Pigs, it's that the film, it feels a little too lengthy. It's, you know, it's just over 2 hours. Maybe it's 2 hours and 10 minutes. And it feels like, you know, sitting there for 3 hours. And it just needed to be a little bit more faster or a little bit more shorter, more trimmed in terms of editing. But yeah, other than that, I thought Dead Pigs was just a fascinating story with fascinating characters, and that was just beautifully shot. And the reason why I bring up Kathy Yan is that she's now, I'm not 100% sure, I should have checked beforehand, but she is in talks to being the director for a Birds of Prey movie at Warner Brothers DC. So, which is interesting, because Dead Pigs is her first movie, and it was just a Sundance hit. And yeah, so for the first, you know, I don't want to say the first time, but for, you know, something that doesn't happen often, finally, you know, the person who has a Sundance hit that's, you know, not a white male is getting their own, you know, big budget movie, or in talks of getting their own big budget movie. So yay. And I wish her the best of luck. And even if she doesn't do Birds of Prey, if something happens, I will be there to see her next movie, whatever it is. All right. So we've now went through, all the films I've seen at the Atlanta Film Festival, except for the closing night premiere, or closing night presentation, as you will, for eighth grade. This is Bo Burnham's feature debut, and it's just fucking awesome. Holy shit. I mean, the way music is used and the way we are, you know, in this subjectivity of our protagonists is, well, actually, let me, you know, scroll back a bit. So eighth grade, it's about a girl named Kayla. She's in the last week of middle school, and she's about to embark into high school, and she has low self-esteem issues, and she has, you know, essentially all the problem, a lot, the problems that most girls her age do. She has, you know, anxiety. She has, you know, all the things that, all the things you associate with low confidence issues. So it's, and we're just following her, you know, in this last week of her life, or of eighth grade, and we're just with her, and we just see her through all these events as she, you know, grows in that final week, and it's just incredible, the performance it's just a great, you know, immersive experience of someone's life for a week. I mean, and that's really the best way I can describe eighth grade. It's like the best immersion into an eighth grade girl's life, as, you know, she's coming into her own self, and what's that like, and what's that for her? And it captures middle school so perfectly. And Bo Burnham, he made a lot of daring decisions with this. I mean, there's scenes in this movie where Kayla is basically crushing on the cool boy with the hair, and the way he films it is the way, you know, from her point of view, it's the way we crush on, you know, on other people all the time when we look at their eyes or when we look at their bodies. It's incredibly, you know, for some it could be uncomfortable, but for others, it's like, but if you're in, you know, her POV, and if you're, you know, understanding the context of the movie, it's funny and also relatable, because you're seeing her crush on this one, you know, on this, you know, kid, and it's just funny, and it's perfect, and also he made daring decisions by casting people that were also either middle schoolers or, you know, high schoolers, which, you know, for an independent movie, that's, you know, that could have been the kiss of death, because of, you know, minors just can't shoot more than, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day. And it really could have derailed the whole project. But, you know, Bo Burnham takes risk, and the whole movie, like, he's taking risk by putting Elise Fisher in these, you know, scenarios and having something to say. He's not out there, you know, putting Elise Fisher through some, you know, sometimes it's traumatic experiences, but, you know, we're with her, and it's not disgusting, and it's not exploitive. It's just immersive and authentic. And that's what I love about eighth grade, is the whole way through is you never feel like Elise or the character of Kayla is exploited in any shape or form. You're just with her the entire way through, and she is just, and Elise, you know, part Fisher, she goes for it, and she is perfect for this role, and she does wonders with this. So much like Greta Gerwig's debut last year and Jordan Peele's debut this or last year as well with Get Out, and then Greta Gerwig with Lady Bird, this is impressive debut from, you know, a comedian that I kind of really, you know, respect. So, so kudos to Bo Burnham for having, you know, taking risk. I mean, this was a ballsy movie. Yeah. And that's pretty much it for my Atlanta Film Festival reviews. I didn't get to review that many movies or go to see that much at the Atlanta Film Festival this year, despite, you know, having really good content. I think, but if I could reflect on the experience, all I could really say about the Atlanta Film Festival is that the experience itself was just, it was fun. Like, the programming was great, and a lot of things did work out. Some stuff got, some screens got, you know, delayed or had projection issues. But it still was fantastic the whole way through. And that's it for Atlanta Film Festival reviews. All right, so there are no reviews of current releases or any podcasts that are going to come out till all the podcasts are going to come out next week. Like Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe we'll have one more on Thursday. But yeah, it's going to be, this is it for the time being. I will post a couple more interviews tomorrow that I did. But other than that, this is it for till next week. I promise, next week we are going to have some more podcasts. We'll definitely get into, Quiet Place and maybe Blockers. And we'll just have, you know, for a while, some catch up, you know, reviews. But also keep in mind, we are also going to be doing, the review for Avengers Infinity War. Very excited. I'm not seeing that until Monday the 30th. But yeah, it's going to be crazy. So next week is when all the reviews are coming out. So thanks everyone for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Movie Kale. You can also follow this, podcast at The Youth Critic. You can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHZ Network. Thanks everyone. We will be back with you, next week with all the reviews.
Hey guys, it's Kayla back with another video. So the topic of today's video is being yourself. Being yourself can be hard, and it's like, aren't I always being myself? And yeah, for sure. But being yourself is like not changing yourself to impress someone else. A lot of people like call me quiet or shy or whatever, but I'm not quiet.
Most quiet, Kayla Day.
I don't talk a lot at school, but if people talk to me and stuff, they'd find out that I'm like really funny and cool and talkative.
By the way, I like your shirt a lot. It's like so cool.
What?